had a message worked on it. But this morning, as I was praying and talking to the Lord, of course, He does this a lot. He changed everything. When I heard Penny's first song, I knew why. What I guess I wanted, we needed to talk about today, because it's on holiness. And but before we do, let me pray. Father, Lord, I surrender to You this morning. Nothing I can say can lift anybody in this room up, but anything that I say from You, God, might. And I pray encouragement. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit be strong in here today, God, that Your Word that You stirred inside of me this morning might stir somebody here this morning to seek You more in their life. And God, that if we surrender to Your will and Your way, God, that, Lord, we can be at joy and we can be at peace and enjoy living. But, Lord, I pray that we would shake off religious spirits, shake off anything that's not of You this morning, and open up and be transparent, God, that we can come before You and humbly this morning just, God, surrender in total submission that, Lord, we can't do this without You. Our nation can't do this without You. We need You, God, like never before. In our country, in this world, Lord, we need You to stand up for God and for those things that seem to be out of control, God. And through the power of Your people, Lord, we can stand up and proclaim You're still on the throne, Jesus, and that God that You didn't just want to be a fix-it God, a happy, clappy God, but a God that wants to be in our life, that helps us to be like You and be holy and just and pure and God, all the fullness of Your Spirit. And this morning we pray, God, that, Lord, there'd be freedom in here to be open-minded and Lord, open to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. But I was... God led me over to 1 Peter this morning. And if you got your Bibles, we'll turn over there. And I even posted this morning that my message was on making investments that last. And I guess that's for another day. So I'll just put that aside. And I believe this, we're in a time that's needed for some men of God and women of God to stand up and really proclaim the truth. I'm concerned. There's something that's happening in the body of Christ that concerns me, that I believe is breaking the Lord's heart. Because this morning, when I was crying out to the Lord, He says, I want you to tell them my desire for them to be holy. I want my people to be holy. And I read over 1 Peter, and I'm going to read through. Let me skip some of the first here.
What verse and chapter?
That's where I'm getting to. 1 Peter 1. I'll start at 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Say that word with me. Living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's reserved in heaven for me.
It's reserved in heaven for me.
Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Skip on over to 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who has called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What does it mean to be holy? Somebody, tell me, what does it mean to you to be holy?
Set apart completely, to be W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, God's. Set apart for and completely His.
Okay, good, good. Anybody else? There's no definite definition. What to each one of you, what does it mean to be holy to you, Chad?
I was thinking to be complete without sin.
Good. Complete. That's a good, kind of sums it up, doesn't it? So what does it mean to be complete? To you, to us, what does it mean to be complete?
The only way that we'll ever be complete is when we have received Jesus as our Lord and our personal Savior, you know, and received the seal of the Holy Spirit and received His Holy Spirit. That is the only thing that will ever make us complete.
But are we complete now, or will we be complete when we get to heaven?
Good question. Thoughts?
I think that when Jesus went through the Lord's Prayer, when He said, as it is in heaven, here it is here on earth, I believe with everything within me, where the church, I don't want to just bash the church, but I was impressed with that too. What we're missing it is Jesus basically said, you can have heaven right here on earth.
Okay.
You know, so that completeness you can have right here. It's just we haven't seen it that way. We've took our eyes off of, you know, what Jesus truly said.
Wow.
That's true. He says He has given us everything by His Spirit for life and godliness. That He's already given it to us. We have everything, all the power, that we really are complete in Him. We have everything to be complete. It's just that our flesh gets in the way.
Okay. Do you think that that's why sometimes we're not healed? Because doesn't it say, didn't Jesus say it is finished?
Yes.
What did it say? He was what? Bruised for our iniquities.
Bruised for our transgressions.
Transgressions, bruised. The stripes on His back, we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is finished means it is finished, right?
Yes.
So, that is a complete, isn't it? When we understand and have that revelation that everything, like you said, you guys said, to be, last week we talked about knowing God. You can't be complete without knowing God. You can't be complete without understanding who God is and who He wants us to be. And God created mankind what?
In His image.
In His image, which is what? Holy, right? Just, righteousness. To stand before God naked and not ashamed. Complete in Him, through Him, walking with Him, talking with Him, like He created mankind. So what has happened? What has happened? Should we continually remind ourselves what our purpose is for life? I think so, don't you? I think we should be complete, continually reminding ourselves that one thing. Go ahead.
I think one of the biggest things that has happened, and because I've experienced this, you know, I'm not just, you know, I'm all that, but when you take the Word of God, and you take what Jesus said, and you start confessing that out,
and telling people, you know, I'm holy because he is holy. You know, people tend to, you get crucified for making those statements.
Uh-oh. Whoa.
You know, and I've got crucified.
There's a word.
I mean, I've got crucified by believers, mm-hmm. you know, other brothers. What? Who are you? You know, you're not all this and you're not all that. Well, no, but what does the Word of God say that I am?
Yeah.
You know, why can I not say those things, say what Jesus says about me? Why can't I say that?
Well, saying that, you want to use a word to get crucified, as you said, is tell them you're a saint. Right?
Saint, yeah.
We're still in the mentality that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Now, that's a true statement. We are sinners saved by grace. But here's the thing. When you get caught in that one thing of I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, what are you living in? Are you living in that grace?
No, you're living in as a sinner.
You're living in as being a sinner when you're stating that fact. What I like is now I'm a saint who sometimes sins. That's the truth.
It's like in CR when we don't say we're not like Narcotics Anonymous or AA where we stand up and say, hi, I'm Penny, I'm an alcoholic. Instead, hi, I'm Penny, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with
yes.
whatever it is.
Absolutely.
I'm no longer defined by my sin. I'm defined by my union with Christ, and I still struggle with my flesh.
Good. Yes. So we need to really continue to remind ourselves, don't we? Because we're not seeing holiness, are we, most of the time in our life? And Chad mentioned that we see things, and we talked the last few weeks has been on that, about seeing things as, you know, but not as God sees them, as He sees and looks into man and into the heart. And what does He see most of the time when He looks into man's heart? What did Paul talk about? What did it say the heart is?
Deceitful.
Deceitful. Wicked. You know? So, God sees into that part of us and says, like He told me this morning, I want you to come to a place of worship in me. And I want you to understand. I want you to be holy. I want you to be in right standing with me. And that makes you W-H-O-L-E-Y, holy. I'll make you holy if you understand you are created to be holy. And so, and that our destiny is not summed up in just happiness or good health. It's in the holiness of God. This week, this is probably why it's still stirring in me. This week we're on Facebook, and you know I don't usually get into you know stirring nothing up, but this week I saw a clip, and everybody's seen it probably. It's on Facebook of the Joel Steen's church. Everybody knows Joel Steen's, right? And his wife made a comment as they were doing their worship. She and him get up there and she said some stuff that just really bothered me and talked about worship. And I was like, it was all about basically, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't quote it word for word, it was that worship is for us. Right, Penny? Bottom line, and you may remember the statement more because I sent it, shared it to you. Worship is about us, and that for us to be happy. And I was like, wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. This is not right.
No.
This is not right at all. Because worship is about Him. When we lift our hands to the Lord, this is it. It's total surrender to Him. It's exalting Him. Jesus gave us the prayer. The disciples asked Him, teach us how to pray, Rabbi, basically, because they didn't know He was Jesus, Lord. And He told them. He gave them the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. What is that?
Holy.
Holy. Lifted Him above everything. He is number one in that prayer. We pray all the time. What does that tell people? we've created this church mentality of it's all happy clappy, and we can come and receive, and it's all about being joyful. And listen, don't get me wrong. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy. But until we understand what holiness means and what worship really means, we're not going to really, truly be happy. We're going to continue to be filling ourselves with the things that make us feel good. They're not eternal. They're not something that lasts. It's just like a drug. It's like anything that, yes, it feels good to get high. It feels good to get drunk, or it feels good to take on drugs or something, or people wouldn't do it, right?
That's right.
So it feels and it appeases to our self and our flesh and our carnal, that old nature that we're born into from the sinful nature. So what's happened is our churches and our preachers have come to a place where it's more important to build numbers. It's more important to get your money and get everything that we think we need to have. God ain't happy with it. God ain't happy with it at all. He don't care that we build a 1,000-seat sanctuary, or that we, you know, that the bank is full and we can buy anything we want. What He cares about is us. And He cares about our heart. He looks at our heart and He says, there's wickedness there. I
yes.
want that.
Yes.
I want you to understand and daily take that thing in captivity in your mind and say, I want that because I want you to be holy.
Yes.
I want you to be in right standing with me so I can walk with you in the garden places of life. And I can come and just like Penny said, saturate you with a feeling that there is no better feeling. There's no drug, there's no money, there's no things in life, not even our family that gives us, makes us joy and happy. But there's a place where we can go in God that He wants us to go, that we can be in a place where it is heaven on earth, just like Chad said. And it also gives us hope for a future. It gives us hope for a future. But nowadays it seems like our minds and our lives are consumed with thoughts and things of the flesh and how we can appease ourselves.
Yes.
And my pastor James had told me months ago some of this same stuff, and God's still stirring. He's stirring it in those who are willing to look past what we think and see that church is about and religion has made this gospel about. That there's going to be a shaking. And I don't know if y'all are watching any of the news or any of the things that's going on in the Middle East and things in around Jerusalem and things over there, but it is... Guys, if this isn't the end time shaking and things happening, I don't know what is. I would be surprised if we didn't see the abomination of desolation soon. And that one that it talks about, the Antichrist sitting in that place proclaiming He is the Messiah. And the things that are happening are just amazing. Our country is like an ant eater with his head down in the ground right now and not really seeing what is going on. It's amazing the things. Every day there's something new I see in the news over and over of our men fighting over there and getting killed and they're taking over places that were Christians and they're taking the women and making slaves out of them and the children and killing them and beheading them. And yes, I know this has gone on for generations, but in the land of free and everything that we're supposed to be in, it concerns me. I believe that there's something God is wanting to do within the believer right now, because it says in here that even the elect shall be deceived in the end time. And if we're creating this mentality that it's all about me and me being happy and just enjoying it. Oh, they've got the most awesome music over there at this church, and I just love all these people. It ain't about that, y'all. It ain't about that. It's about Him and learning how to become holy and just and righteousness, so that when these times come, these perilous times, these end times shall come, we will not be deceived. We will not bow down to another god. And like the Israelites, and we won't take our eyes off of the true God that promises us this hope through living a holy and just life. And it seems as if God has become second fiddle in our lives in everything we do. We see people, and everybody's been guilty of this. I mean, but it's in those crisis times that we pull Him out of the box, isn't it? We put Him in a box, and we say, but when death comes knocking at the door, when there's things in our life that are a crisis situation, we lose our job, our kids, you know, do crazy things, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, what about the rest of the time? You know, what about the time when, you know, yesterday was a great day for me. I'm going to be praising Him for that. But I'm also going to be praising Him the next day and the next day. And He's going to be priority in my morning and my night before I lay down. And in every time I open this book, I expect to receive something that helps me to be more like Jesus. You know, and I don't knock having the Bible up on the screens and all that stuff and everything, but I'm sorry, but I think sometimes we take away from this book because we're so internet savvy, we're so everything, but then when we get down to it, is it really becoming part of us, you know? Or is it just something else we click and do our mouse around? Is this thing really getting in us, Chad? Is this thing really stirring us up? Is it leaping off the pages at us? It don't matter if it's up there, but when people start there, you know, and I don't, please don't get me wrong, you didn't bring a Bible to church or whatever, but when you go and there's hundreds and hundreds of people in these great big churches, and they're not even, they don't have a Bible, and they go up there and they say one word, guess where that Bible is? It's on the shelf, isn't it? It's in our home. It's collecting dust. And sometimes we need that thing laid out where we can see it. I don't care wherever we're going to be going. Oh, yeah, I need to read my Bible this morning. I lay mine over by... Everybody knows where we have to go in the morning, right? I've got one right there to where it reminds me that I need Him first. I need Him above everything before my day, because I'm one of these, my mind, I'm like 10 places just like that. Once I get up and I wake up, I'm at 10 places in my mind. And trying to solve all those problems, those things, what am I going to do here, here, and here? So if I don't put Him first, guess what? It's just like anybody else. It's over on the shelf. And I'm not really going to, that day, receive the blessings or maybe the word like He gave me this morning, you know. And so,
let me say one thing though.
Yes, please.
Sometimes though, you know, I get where Ronnie comes from, and you know, there's been mornings that I get up and I read my word, you know, to have the Lord first, and all hell break loose throughout the day, and I'm just like, what in the world? And then I'm reminded, you know, sometimes, you know, how would I reacted to all of this breaking loose if I hadn't have put the Lord first, you know?
Yes.
And so, on the other hand, you got to realize that there's going to be an attack from the enemy when you try to do that also.
Absolutely.
So just because you get up and do that doesn't mean you're going to have, you know, a sweet day throughout the day. A lot of times you're going to be hammered.
That's right.
You know? Well, can I also share something? what I find and what I'm guilty of, it's kind of like the fortune cookie approach to scriptures. You know, like I've got this app and I look in it and it gives me a scripture of the day, you know, and you can look at it, and some people look at it like a horoscope, you know, and you're like, oh, I need this particular thing for the day. But even so, I might open it up and then I might read through, I'll read through the whole chapter of whatever it is that has piqued my interest. But to be honest, I am not meditating on it. I'm not really thinking about it. I'm just read something intellectually. You know, it hit that. I feel like I've kind of like absorbed it somewhat, but I really haven't. It hasn't settled into my spirit. I haven't prayed over it. I haven't asked God what He wants me to know over it. It's like I'm doing an obligation, fulfilling an obligation. Okay, I read my scripture for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's more to it as well.
Yeah.
The word isn't really the rhema word, the spoken word, until God's Spirit speaks the truth about that scripture to our spirit, and it becomes a part of who we are. It changes how we think, it changes how we feel, and it changes how we act.
Yes, good. Thank you for sharing that. What is the Logos?
That's the intelligent word of God.
The intelligent word of God, the written word of God, right?
It means the actual words.
The words.
Logos. Rhema means the subject matter.
Is the subject matter.
What he's trying to say to us.
What he's trying to say. So that's good. I'm glad you said that, because last week I talked about and I mentioned praying the scripture. Mm-hmm. And I saw some like, some question marks. King come up. What does that mean? Well, that means, like Penny said, it can become a daily devotion. It can become just another book.
Yes.
That we read. And until we make time for it to become rhema, it's just logos. But there's things that God's wanting to say that if we don't slow down long enough, guess what? We can't hear Him.
You're right.
And I don't know about y'all, like I said last week, He don't always say, Ronnie, turn to 1 Peter 1:16. Yeah, He could if He wanted to, right? But He didn't. Sometimes it's just being obedient and praying and asking God and opening this book and starting in 1 Peter. You can read 1 Peter in 5 minutes. You can go through and you've read a whole book of the Bible. 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes. It's no different than reading a devotion or whatever. And then you can stop halfway through and pray and ask God, wait a minute now, Lord, show me. Show me what you mean right here. What did you mean when you was talking to Peter here? What was you meaning that it come out, this anointed word? So, do I believe God can come into me and make me holy? That's a question I wrote down. Do we really believe that? I don't know. Sometimes I think we don't. I don't believe we really do that we can be holy. I'm just an old sinner. Well, God says we can, because why? Because of Jesus Christ. Because everything that He was, we can be. Because of His death, burial, and resurrection, now I have the power through the Holy Spirit that comes and lives in me. He has empowered me to live holy. But do we really believe that? Are we convinced ourselves that it's okay? I'm convinced myself that there's some of the things, as we call in CR, our bad habits or our hang-ups that we get caught up in. And a hang-up is something that you do over and over again, and you're saying, well, what is the true root of that thing? Do I really trust You, Lord? Do I really believe that I can be holy in this area of my life, being right standing to You? I don't know about y'all, but there's still some things in my life that I struggle with, and I need to totally surrender them to God. And it says, repent and be converted, that our sins may be blotted out. I don't know that if God's the only one that knows whether our sin is there's a true repentance. It says godly sorrow brings true repentance. I've been guilty as much as anybody about that Lord forgive me prayer. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to do it again. Come on, let's get real. Yes. Is anybody there?
Yes.
Is that trusting God? Is that taking faith? Or what is that?
It's feeling guilty because you got caught.
Yeah, remorse.
Remorse?
Yeah. Regret, but not...
Sorry that I got caught. Mentality. I see it all the time in the jail, with the guys, you know, and we call it jailhouse religion. It happens all the time. Repeated guys come in there. One boy I had really big hope for a few weeks ago, there he was, a guy, what are you doing here again? It's like 15 times he's been incarcerated. Over a 30-year period, there's no telling how many of those 30 years he's spending his life. And what really gets me is he can quote the Word of God as much as me near. You know, I believe he probably maybe more because he knows the Word of God, but does he really know the Word of God? You know what I'm saying? Because has it become rhema? Or is it logos? Is this thing just a book? Because anybody can quote a book, can't they?
Yeah.
And learn a book.
Yeah.
There's no life there.
That's right.
There's no spiritual birth there.
Yes.
When that happens. You have to question, is the fruit there? Is it, because it hurts me when I sin and I grieve the Holy Spirit. It hurts me to think that I'm breaking God's heart. Because He's saying, I want you to be holy. I want you to be just and right standing with me. Because He wants to bless us. Just like Peter started off here, blessed be to God, because He knows through Christ we're blessed already. It's already done. And I wrote this down because, you know, I feel like this happens a lot. And it says, I put down, oftentimes the preacher is resented when he preaches on being holy and the message of the cross and what Jesus taught. We don't want, you hear people talk, I just don't even like that. They preach on heaven and hell all the time. I'm telling you something. We need some preachers to stand up and say, there is a heaven and hell.
Yes.
And you have to make a choice. There is no in between. There is no straddling the fence. It says, who choose you this day, whom you shall serve. So, if I'm not getting up here and telling y'all the truth and preaching God wants you to be holy, I'm not in the will of God. I don't need to be up here. I need to be sitting there, and somebody needs to be preaching that to me. And then that we have to die to our self-ambitions and anything that would separate us from the holy lifestyle that God the Father desires for our life. But it's by the preaching of the gospel that we can be awakened through the intense resentments, because it must reveal that we are unholy. And that awakening can stir us up and make us crave to be holy. That's what we need. That's why we come to church. Not just to receive happy. I love Phil, the Dynasty guy. My wife can tell you, I don't miss episodes. I don't get the back ones. He's happy. That's his word. And God wants you to be happy. He also wanted mankind to walk with Him in the garden.
Yeah.
Didn't He? That was why we were created.
To fellowship.
Yes. What we're doing now. And with Him. Mm-hmm. Be in relationship with Him. My other message is on, and I'll get to that in a couple of weeks, on vows. What does it mean to be, you know, have an investment in God and making vows to the Lord? Things in our life I believe we've made our own are so warped, our theologies and everything else, that we don't like to hear about Jesus and the cross, and to take this cross up is what? You've got to die. You've got to die to self. And some of the things in our life is we want Jesus to be our Savior, but we don't often want Him to be our Lord, do we?
Right.
And to have a Lord, you have to have someone say no.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Not the way.
Yep.
This isn't about the law again. We're under grace. But Jesus said He didn't come to change all that. He came to fulfill it.
Give us the ability to.
Give us the ability to live it. To want to live holy, to want to be able to do the Ten Commandments. We're not going to get it right, are we? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. But if we just live on that one thing, we've made grace a mockery, haven't we? We've made grace something that's not the grace that He died for. God, I put down, God's not an eternal blessing machine to us. That's what we think He is, isn't He? Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. He's not a God, eternal blessing machine. Jesus didn't come to save man out of pity. He came to save man because God created them to be holy, to be in right standing with the Father. I'm going to close here. In a second. The atonement means that God can put me back in perfect union with Himself without a separation of darkness through the death of Jesus Christ. That's what the atonement means. And as Christians, we should never tolerate sympathy with others or any practices that keep us from that one thing. In other words, we've made a decision, most of us, that it's okay for me to do this, or it's okay for me to hang out with these people. And God said, that's not good. He's trying to tell us. It says what? Not to be unequally yoked, right?
Bad company corrupts good character.
Bad company corrupts good character. I don't care who you are. If you hang out long enough around the heathen, you become like the heathen. Because before long, you're laughing at those jokes that are unholy. You're next thing, you're participating with them in those things that are being said. And before long, you're in this sin and this sin and this sin. And you've built up this mountain of sin that separated you from a holy God, that there's no way God can answer our prayers, much less be in our life in a way that He wants to be, in right standing with Him. And it's the same way in our thoughts that, well, I think God wants me to be happy. Yes, He does. But He also wants us to be holy so that we can walk with Him in that garden place. And Oswald Chambers said, holiness means unsoiled walking with the feet, unsoiled talking with the tongue, unsoiled thinking with the mind, and every detail of life under the scrutiny of God. Holiness is not only what God gives me, but what I manifest that God has given, he said. Jesus said this in John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. What was the joy that Jesus had? The joy of Jesus was the absolute self-surrender, of self-sacrifice of himself to the Father. The joy of doing that which the Father had sent him to do. He said, I delight to do thy will. Do we really delight to do the Father's will? That's my question this morning. Sometimes we get in this, oh, it's Sunday again, I got to go to church. Penny said it a little bit about the reading the Word and all. We get in the thoughts where, oh, it's something, we don't delight in that. And listen, can I soapbox a little? God ain't interested in your money if you don't want to give it and give it with a cheerful heart. God ain't interested in your worship if you're not in it to give it all to Him.
Yes.
God ain't interested in any of that. He's interested in you and your relationship with Him above everything in your life.
Yes.
And that... Ooh. Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. And I delight that in my life, I'm doing your will, Lord. I won a race last night. The first thing that I knew when I crawled out of that car, I was going to say, I was going to give God the glory. And the first thing I said, the first thing I got to say is, thanks be to Jesus Christ, whom I could never do none of this without Him. And that is the way we need to look at this whole thing in our lives. I don't know about y'all, but when I remember back nearly 20 years ago, when I was in sin and living as a heathen, until I called on the name of Jesus, I was either going to hell or going to prison. I don't know, but I know I was on a path of destruction. And thanks be to Him, He never give up on me. He never forsake me. He knew my calling in life. The Bible said last week I shared, He predestined us. Before the foundation of the world, He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knows every hair on our head. And the ones we don't have, body's giggling. I'm getting recedings. That's how much He cares and how much He loves and wants us to be in right standing in relationship with Him. So this morning my challenge is, do we want that fullness of life? Then we need to strive to be holy. It's not some freaky, ooh, holy. I thought of this, and I'm going to have Penny correct if she can sing it. When we come up, we're going to close with this song. Holiness, holiness, holiness is what I need. And I'm boxed her in the corner, just like we do the Lord. Peter said this, if you look there in verse 4 and 5, he said, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. I like that. Inheritance which is imperishable. What does that mean? That's something we get, we receive, that it don't never go away. It's imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you and I. Boy, that stirs me up. That gives me hope. That's a living hope. He said, whom are protected by the power of God. You are protected by the power of God. of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Get this. God is ready for His people to stand up in these last times and proclaim a salvation through Christ Jesus. And that word salvation, I looked it up, is a little different than some of the other words in salvation wrote in here. And this word salvation here is equivalent to the redemption of Romans 8:23, which refers to our body. It doesn't refer to salvation from sin here, but to our liberation of salvation through our present moral and corrupt body. That's what it means right here at this point. It isn't about the salvation from sin. It's about the salvation of this corrupt body. Isn't that awesome? That's what he's saying here, Peter's saying. Striving for holiness, striving for that perfection in Him should be our goal. Should be what we need. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Father, everyone in this room right now, I don't know where anyone is. I know that God, as myself, I humbly surrender to You and repent of some of the habitual sin, the things in my life that I've tried to control on my own. Father, we can't do this without You. I pray there would be something total surrender right now, and there would be change in every believer in this room. That just as Peter said, we can live holy just like You and in fellowship with You. This is what we need, Lord. And if we can step out in faith and trust You with these things in our life, we're going to find the joy of our salvation. We're going to find that, God, that there's so many things that are untapped in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit that bring us to that contentment and happiness without trying to appease ourselves. That God, You're just going to do it because we want to worship You. We want to be in Your presence in all that we do. In Jesus' name. Now this song that Penny's going to sing is real simple. And you can just sit there and worship and think about it as we sing it. It's simple.
Holiness is what I need.
That's it.
Holiness, holiness is what You want from me.
That's it.
Let's sing that again.
Holiness is what You want from me.
that be our prayer right now. Conform us, Lord, into your image. Help us to be faithful, to want to serve you, to want to know you, be in right standing, and God, just to be in your presence anytime we can. Just take the time to open up your word, Lord. May it become a living word to us, God, and become something that is part of us that we know we can't do without. We can't live without you and your spoken rhema word. Your word, God, that will encourage, will uplift. Well, also, God, just like today, sometimes we need to hear something stern, that God, that your word says, I need you to give me that in your life to where I can be with you. We can get honest with ourselves. There's things that separate us from you, Lord. The sin in our life that we justify, that, Lord, we say, well, that's just, you know, the little white lies that cause us to be in separation from the fullness of who you want us to be. God, today I pray empowerment over everyone here, that, Lord, that we can leave here today encouraged, that, Lord, your grace is sufficient for all our needs are met in you. Our joy, contentment, happiness is in you. And may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name. Chad, won't you come up and close and pray over our offering? And if anybody's got a prayer request right now, we'd love to pray for you. If you want to come forward, we'd pray for you. If you need healing, God's here. God is the healer. I seen a report last week. The girl that come forward got a good report from the doctor. Nothing that we did, but our faith with hers that... she said, whose report shall you believe? And she believed the report of the Lord. So she is praising God for that good report this week. So if anybody's got any prayer requests, thank you. If not, brother, won't you close us?
Father, we thank you for this word, Lord God. Thank you, Father, Lord God, because this is from your throne room, Father. God, I just ask you, God, to continue to change our hearts. Continue to transform us, Lord God. Father, I ask you to bless everyone here, Father God. Lord, bless their offering. Bless them as they give, Father. Lord, bless them as they go, Father. Watch over them and protect them, Lord God. Lord, return us all safely, God. Back together again, Father. We just thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. 5 minutes to spare. Has anybody got anything they want to share or something?
I want to share one thing. There's a vision, not like a prophetic vision, but just an image that kept coming to my mind when Ronnie was talking about being holy and walking with God. And I kept seeing a man walking a dog down the road, walking straight ahead, and the dog kept going forward. And then running over and sniffing stuff over here, and would not walk. Yes, it's pulling. But you know, it actually was not that big of a dog, but it was straining against the leash. Straining against the leash. Everywhere it hurt, smelled something, saw something, heard something, it would just go. And I saw that all throughout the service, and I thought, Lord, I don't understand. What is that? I understand, yeah, squirrel, you know, like me. I don't stay focused on God, right? But then he showed me a man walking down a road without a leash and a dog that had been trained to heal. And he walked. The dog stayed exactly where he was when he stopped. The dog stopped, sat down, until the man walked some more. And God said, that is holiness.
Whoa.
That is being holy. We are the dog. Wow. Now, we're just, well, I'm just always, my attention gets pulled elsewhere. but I need to be taught discipline, trained, so that when he moves, I move at the same rate he moves. I don't go to the right, to the left. I don't run ahead. I don't go behind. And when he stops, I stop where he is. I sit down, and I don't do anything. I wait for him to move again.
That is so awesome that you said that, because Friday, I actually saw that man and dog.
No!
And I swear, and this was right over here on this little road over here going from Wendy's. He was walking down the sidewalk, okay, and right where you turn to go up to Wendy's, I was coming out, and I looked, and this guy, it was a young man, and he had a white Labrador, and it had a rope, and the rope, he was dragging it, the dog was, and the dog was walking right beside him, and that rope, I was like, what? He didn't even got a hold of that dog, and he's coming up on the crosswalk, I said, and all of a sudden, he got up to where he had to stop, where the road was, and he walked up and stopped, and that dog stopped right beside him. So that's a word from the Lord right there. I was thinking, man, that is obedience. That is obedience.
Well, you know what the other thing is that I see? Awesome. Is that leash that's dragging on the ground? Mm-hmm. The leash is the law. The law was given to us because we have no self-control, out of control. Right? And it's God's way of saying, these are the parameters. You can only go so far before I really back it. But grace is where God doesn't have to hold on to a leash. He's empowered us to walk with him and stay with him of our own accord. We don't have to be boxed in by rules and regulations. We want to please him. We want to walk next to him. We don't want to run away from him.
Mm. That's good stuff. Anybody else got anything?
Well, I got to see a dog. The boys are in this parkour thing. They just go by the dog. And parkour is where you run, jump on things, jump over balconies, do flips and stuff.
Oh.
This guy had his Australian Shepherd trained to do parkour. This thing would run up trees, jump off trees. They would do this together, jump over railings, jump over trash cans.
Oh, wow.
They would do backflips. Mm-hmm. This dog would do backflips, and they would do it together.
I saw that.
Wow. It's just cool with the whole dog thing. And we've seen all that. I seen all that yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
He showed me the video. You got to see this, Daddy. So I said, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. But that dog would do everything that his friend would do.
That's awesome. So think about that. I guess, you know, if we could do what Jesus did, then we can be holy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, he's already given it to us. It's just
right.
We're the ones that strain
and
run away.
Being obedient to the law. Anybody else? Good. Listen, I pray over your day. Lord, bless everyone here. Lord, may we rest in you. And until we get back to this place of fellowship together with you, may everyone here walk in your blessings, and out of the obedience of their giving to others, their love and compassion for others, may you bless them and bless their families. And Lord, let them be an example for you and shining the light. Don't let their lamp so shine on, and God, on that hill, Lord, that the others in the world will see that you can be blessed and you can live a holy and just life and enjoy life. And God, we thank you for this, and I pray that everyone's safe journeys in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.